Rare Dissonance by Kevin Lenihan.
Silence. For most people, silence is something they never truly experience. For them, it is merely the absence of a distracting sound or even the lone hiss of traffic in the distance. For Emily Day, it was constant. Or possibly absent. If you asked her to describe it, she wouldn't know how. It was all she had ever known since she had been born without the ability to hear it all. Her mother, a passionate concert pianist, had been devastated. She hit it well most of the time, but Emily knew it was a huge disappointment. She thought about this as she eyed the acoustic guitar that leaned against the closet in the corner of her bedroom, illuminated by the orange glow of the street lamp outside, filtered by the drawn curtains. Her father had bought it before she was born, filled with such hope for her. Now it was just a reminder that he was gone, taken by an accident over a year ago, just before her 9th birthday. She walked barefoot across the thick carpet in her fluffy, warm, pink pajamas and ran one finger gently across the strings that had been on it since before she was born. The vibrations tingled in the soles of her feet as they ran through the floor. She smiled sadly, stepped backwards, and sat down on her bed. She felt a tingle in her back, the kind of feeling you get when you think someone might be standing behind you. Emily pulled up her feet and turned around to face the window, sitting cross-legged, and tweaked aside the curtain. Across the street, standing in an orange pool of light beneath a street lamp, was a tall, dark figure in a wide-brimmed hat and a long, black coat. Though the figure's back was to her, Emily could see that they were wielding a bow and using it to frantically play a fiddle of some kind that was braced underneath their chin. The figure's elbow flung out wildly as they drew the bow back and forth, leaning down slowly before quickly standing back up straight and leaning backwards, as if playing to the ground and to the sky. Emily leaned slowly forwards and pushed her hand against the glass. As soon as she did so, the figure ceased playing and lowered its arms to its sides, the fiddle and bow held in each long-fingered, pale hand. It turned around slowly until it faced towards her house and raised the brim of its hat just a little, as if to look up at her, though the darkness hid any face that may have lain within. As she stirred, the front door of the house across the street opened, and a little girl, no older than 6 years old, came awkwardly walking out, clutching a ragged teddy bear in her arms. The figure spun around to face her, raised the fiddle to its chin, and began bowing the instrument once more, though this time much more slowly and deliberately. The little girl walked down the short path to the street, transfixed on the figure as it played its music, stopping only when she was a few feet from the stranger. She looked up at the head of the shape, her face suddenly twisting from an expression of fascination to one of horror as the thing stopped its bowing, placed the fiddle and bow inside the recesses of its coat, and reached out a long, pale, slender, long-nailed hand and placed it gently on her shoulder. Her mouth turned down in a frown and her eyes clenched tight, tears streaming down her face as the tall figure tightened its grip on the little girl's upper arm and slowly, but with apparently little resistance, ushered her into the dark recesses of its open robe. The shape then closed its garment over, tilted its unseen face up once more to glance at Emily, before abruptly turning to the side and striding off down the street at a brisk pace. There was no longer any sign of the little girl. Emily turned her head and watched the figure as it appeared under the next street lamp, briefly visible in the sickly orange pool of light as it stomped along the street away from her, showing no signs of slowing as it disappeared once again into the darkness between the lamps. Just then, the spell seemed to break as Emily dragged her gaze away from the window, bounced off the bed, and ran across the floor and out into the hallway. She turned on the light, the bare bulb harshly illuminating the corridor as she pushed open the door to her mother's room. The light spilling in from the doorway revealed the woman lying face down and fully clothed on the bed. The light refracting off two empty wine bottles on the bedside table next to her as she turned her red, puffy face towards the light and angrily shooed Emily away. "Someone took the girl across the street," Emily signed to her frantically. Her mother pushed herself up on her elbow and used her other hand to sweep her long dark hair out of her eyes as she made a frowning, questioning face. Emily hopped from one foot to the other and continued to sign frantically. "A monster!" She drew her hands up to either side of her head and bore her teeth as aggressively as she could to get her point across. Her mother rolled her eyes and shook her head, clearly unimpressed. "We'll talk in the morning," she sloppily signed back, before allowing her face to fall back down heavily into the pillow. Emily stomped heavily on the floor, but she could see from the way her mother's back slowly rose and fell, she had already fallen into a deep sleep. Emily rushed downstairs into the living room and grabbed the heavy poker from the fireplace. Then she grabbed a torch from the kitchen, rushed back upstairs to her room, sat down cross-legged on her bed once more, brandishing the poker tightly as she waited for morning to come. Peter squinted doubtfully at Emily and ran his hand nervously over his short brown hair as she rolled her eyes and signed back to him, "Yes, I'm serious," for the third time in a row. "Why are you trying to scare me?" he said, scowling at her. "I know monsters aren't real. I'm not a little kid." "You're 10," she signed. "Yeah, well, I still don't believe you." "Okay," she signed, her shoulders dropping a little as she breathed out purposefully. "Maybe it wasn't a..." She looked around the school playground to make sure no one was looking before again subtly signing, "Monster." "But someone took that little kid."
"Well then tell an adult," Peter said, visibly frustrated.
She watched as his mouth formed the words and sighed once again. Then she signed, "I told my mother on Friday night and she didn't believe me. Now it's Monday and she doesn't even remember." She then bit her lip and hung her head a little as she signed, "On Sunday I went across the street to tell the girl's parents, but they just didn't understand me. They didn't seem too upset either, like nothing was wrong, like they'd forgotten too."
"Well, maybe nothing happened. Maybe you just dreamed it and you thought it was real," said Peter, dramatically shrugging his shoulders.
"The police were there on Saturday morning," Emily signed, her face now a mask of misery. "I didn't dream it. It happened. They forgot." As Peter stared into her eyes, his frustrated expression softened. In all the years he had known Emily, she had never been prone to lies or flights of fancy.
"Okay then, what do you want to do about it?"
Emily sat cross-legged on her bed, curtains drawn to leave a gap of just a few inches in front of her to give a decent view of the street below, bathed once again in the orange glow of the street lamp. The heavy poker lay next to her, making a deep groove in the sheets on one side, while on the other was a small laptop computer with the backlight turned down to create as little ambient light in the room as possible. A little chat window popped up and flashed in the corner of the screen, with the name Peter hovering at the top of it. Peter typed, "Okay, I'm at my window." Emily pulled the computer closer and began typing. "Have you got a camera?" Peter typed, "My phone does videos, dumbass." Emily chuckled to herself and typed back, "Did you get a weapon? I've got the big poker from the hearth." Then Peter typed, "I have an aerosol can and my dad's lighter. It works like a flamethrower, I think."
"How do you know that?" typed Emily.
"I saw it in a movie."
"Okay," Emily typed back. "Well, get your phone ready and keep a lookout."
"What if nothing happens?" typed Peter.
Emily slowly typed, "Just be ready." It was about an hour later when the chat notification popped up once again in the corner of the screen. Emily clicked it and the window expanded. Peter had written, "A big tall guy in a hat is coming down the street. Filming now." Emily felt her heart begin to beat faster as she leaned her head forward between the gap in the curtains and looked up the street just as the tall figure stepped into a pool of orange light a few houses up, on the same side of the street, just outside Peter's house. Its wide-brimmed hat still shrouding its face in darkness, it reached a pale hand inside its long black coat and produced a battered fiddle. She leaned back again and grabbed the computer, typing frantically.
"That's it, I told you."
"Okay," typed Peter.
"Busy.
Filming." The figure turned to face the house and drew the fiddle up slowly, locking it under its unseen chin. She typed frantically. "This is exactly what happened before." It raised up the bow and carefully drew it once along the strings. As it did so, Emily felt a mild shiver run down her spine. She typed carefully, "Can you hear it?" Emily then typed, "Will your phone pick up the sound?" The figure drew the bow across the strings once more, though quicker this time. Then again and again, faster and faster, as its elbow moved frantically back and forth, its long fingers moving effortlessly up and down the fretboard of the instrument as its shoulders undulated in a way that made Emily feel incredibly uncomfortable. She frantically typed again, "What does it sound like? Can you see its face?"
Emily looked back out the window again at the strangely gyrating figure, its elbow flinging around wildly again in a way that Emily almost would have thought comical had she not seen the thing steal away a child. All thoughts of possible amusement left her, however, as she saw something then that chilled her to the bone, and for a brief moment made her feel as if her heart had stopped. There, standing in the edge of the orange light now, was a small figure in a set of blue and grey pyjamas. In one hand, it limply held a mobile phone. She watched in horror as Peter stared up at the dark void where the thing's face should be. The phone dropped from his hand, landing heavily on the ground, and his mouth fell open. Before she even knew what she was doing, Emily had grasped the poker, run out of the room, down the stairs, and out through the front door of the house. She felt her bare feet slap down on cold concrete as she landed on the pavement outside the front door, her long pink nightdress billowing around her in the light breeze as she brandished the implement above her head and ran towards the now empty orange pool of light where she had last seen her only friend in the world, staring up horrified at something only he could see. The only thing left was his phone, lying there on the ground, displaying a black screen with a little red recording indicator flashing in one corner. Emily picked it up, feeling it still warm from his hands. She looked down the street and there, to her horror, she saw the silhouette of the tall figure against the street lights in the distance. It was again striding off at a very fast pace. Emily briefly entertained the notion of rushing back inside to the safety of her home and waking her mother. Then she remembered how she had been dismissed before. She then thought about how the little girl across the street had apparently been so easily forgotten. She was not going to let that happen to Peter. She quickly ran her thumb down the phone screen, pulling open a shortcut menu and pushed the symbol for the light, which came on immediately, sharp and white as it pierced the orange aura around her. She rested the poker on her shoulder and, with her other hand, held out the phone in front of her, lighting the way as she sprinted as hard as she could towards the quickly shrinking shape in the distance. As she drew closer and closer, the feeling of doubt began to rise in her mind. What the hell was she going to do when she caught up with the thing? She thought about Peter and shook off the doubt, replacing it with a burning white-hot rage as she gritted her teeth and quickened her pace. She was going to hit it as hard as she damn well could with the poker, and that was that. Then she would hit it again. Beyond that, she didn't really know. As the thing got to the end of the street, it took a hard right, disappearing out of the light and into the darkness of what was known locally as the bogey field. A few seconds later, Emily found herself standing at the edge of the field, squinting through the darkness, unable to discern any movement. She knew the field to be surrounded on all sides but this one by a high fence. The only notable feature in the field was a small hill out of which jutted a large concrete pipe that was used as some kind of water runoff from a nearby factory long since closed. Despite how enticing such a thing was to play on, all the local children knew to stay away from it. When it rained, the water would run down over the entrance, like a muddy, filthy waterfall. It began to rain now, as Emily stood there, contemplating what to do. The sky was filling with clouds, billowing across it and hiding the stars like black smoke. Though at first it was merely spitting, in seconds it became a torrential, hammering downpour. The huge drops of rain filled the air as they came smashing down hard on Emily's head. She felt a roar in her throat as she angrily pushed forward, her cold feet sinking a little into the muddy grass as she stomped her way across the field, blinking the rainwater out of her eyes as it temporarily blinded her. She held the phone up high to light her way as she stumbled and slipped across the field. A stinging pain in the sole of her foot shocked her as a sharp stone ran across it, but she pushed on through the pain until she came to the entrance to the pipe, a vertical brown river now cascading down in front of it like a solid wall of water. She took a deep breath, closed her eyes, and bounded forward, poker once again held above her head, ready to fight. She felt her feet smack down hard on a damp concrete floor, and a rancid, sickly sweet smell filled her nostrils as she blinked the water once again from her eyes. Shining the phone's light around the chamber she now found herself in, she saw that the walls were grey concrete, stained with rusty brown splodges here and there. As she stepped slowly forward, the smell became almost overpowering as it filled her nostrils. Standing now in the centre of the chamber, still blinking the rainwater out of her eyes, she cast the light around once more and noticed a curious series of objects on the floor around the room. She got down on one knee to get a closer look at a round object on the floor next to her. It looked mostly white, though there were flecks of something reddish-brown and stringy hanging off it here and there. After jabbing at it with the poker a few times, the object rolled over. She felt a nausea rise in her stomach as the thing rolled over and looked at her with one remaining blue eye in its socket. Recoiling backwards from the skull as it rocked on its side, lifeless and cold, staring cycloptically at nothing, Emily dropped the phone on the floor as she moved both hands instinctively to the handle of the poker. She stood up and spun around a few times, brandishing it at nothing, until she noticed a crumpled form in the corner of the room, dressed in blue and grey pyjamas, lying face down. Emily leapt forward, dropping the poker on the ground next to him as she grasped Peter by the shoulder and turned him over. Looking away immediately, her eyes filled with tears as it dawned on her with absolute certainty that there was no way he could still be alive. There simply wasn't enough of him left. Tears streamed from her tightly shut eyes as her chest grew tight, heaving and stinging as she felt a harsh, cold pain in her throat and screamed. Emily felt a brief tightening on her shoulder as of a large, bony hand pulling her upright and dragging her backwards into the centre of the room. She felt a vice-like grip on her other shoulder as she was spun around to face the tall figure in a wide-brimmed hat, its face hidden in darkness. Then, unexpectedly, its large hands let go of her. It stood there, staring down from eyes unseen, as if waiting to see what she would do. After barely hesitating for a moment, she leapt upwards as high as she could and swung a fist towards an approximation of where she imagined the shape's face to be. Her knuckles connected with thin skin over hard bone as the shape reeled from the impact, its wide-brimmed hat flying across the room, skimming through the air like a frisbee. A pale, human-like face looked down at her in shocked surprise, its greyish-white skin pulled back in a jagged-toothed smile as the bright green eyes looked down from between eyelids that were barely more than slits, beneath a hairless head covered in scabs. Its hand shot out, grabbing her wrist just a little too late as Emily landed a second blow on the thing's pointed jaw with her left hand. She hung there, dangling from her wrist, as the thing continued to smile at her attempts to kick at its coat with her bare, bleeding feet. It looked in her eyes and spoke, its grey lips forming the words so quickly that she found it hard to understand. She made out what she thought were the words "thank you" and "meat" before she was placed gently back down onto the ground, her wrists still held helplessly in the beast's grip. With its free hand, it reached into its robes and slowly pulled out the battered fiddle. Then, using the hand that was gripping Emily's wrist, it pushed its thumb up into her palm, forcing her fist open before driving her fingers hard onto the strings of the instrument. As she continued to struggle, the thing dragged her hand across the fretboard, causing the strings to cut into the tips of her fingers. She felt the coldness of the strings mix with the warmth of her blood as the pain grew more intense, her hand being dragged up and down the fretboard again and again. Then, nodding its head as if satisfied, the thing strode towards the entrance of the chamber and threw her effortlessly out through the waterfall. She hit the muddy grass hard, skimming along the dirt in the torrential rain as the pain in her hand grew almost unbearable. As she lay, cradling her bleeding fist in her other hand, the rain stopped suddenly. The ground around her seemed to dry almost immediately as she slowly got to her feet and turned around to face the waterfall again. But there was no waterfall to be seen. It was as if it had not been raining at all. She ran forward into the dark opening, ready once again to strike out at the thing despite the burning pain she now felt all over, and ran straight into a wall. She stood up once again and stared in baffled rage at the solid concrete that now barred her way. She punched and kicked at it a few times, leaving nothing but mud and blood on the wall. It had been 2 days since the search party had found Emily, crying in a heap in the bogey field as the midday sun hung oppressively overhead. Initially, the search party had set out to find both Peter and Emily, but it seemed that once they had found her, they just sort of gave up. No one seemed to be bothering to look for Peter at all. When she had tried to ask her mother about it, she had just given her a vacant look of confusion and gone back to drinking. She sat now on the edge of her bed, flexing her left hand. It had been stinging constantly until this morning when she had woken after a fitful night's sleep to find it completely healed, save for a mild callus on each of her fingertips. She slid dejectedly off her bed and felt a familiar vibration of the guitar in the corner as she did so, though this time there was something more to it. Looking over at the dusty instrument, Emily felt as though she could see the strings vibrate. She stomped experimentally on the floor again, and this time she was certain. The vibrations ran through the floor and into her feet and up through her body like a slow electrical current. Stepping towards the instrument, she reached out and ran her finger across the strings in the way she had done 1,000 times before. Her world filled with a sensation she could not put into words. All around her, she could feel the sound moving through the air, filling her mind with possibilities. She grabbed the guitar by the neck, sat down on the bed, and rested it on her leg. Strumming it once again, she began turning the tuning heads, twisting each one until it just felt right. Once she was satisfied, she rested her left hand on the strings in an odd claw shape and pushed them down once again onto the fretboard before strumming gently with her other hand. The electric feeling once again filled her, though this time much more concentrated and focused. Her right hand began picking at the strings as she watched the fingers on her left hand begin to dance between the frets, running effortlessly up and down the neck of the instrument, the notes flowing through her arm, into her chest, and up into her brain as she became lost in the absolute joy of the moment, of feeling the music twist and change as she plucked and hammered on the strings faster and harder, twanging them out and bringing her nail down on them as the melody flowed all around and through her, filling up the world until slowly but surely the music ebbed and flowed its way to a crescendo, and finally, with one last gentle strum, it finished. She sat with her eyes closed, letting the last note ring out for a long time before she opened her eyes, only to see her mother standing in the doorway of the room, her eyes wide, smiling in a way Emily had never seen before. She fell to her knees, dropping the whiskey bottle she had been holding, letting its contents spill out on the floor as tears of joy ran down her face. As Emily stared in disbelief at her mother's reaction, she briefly saw, in her mind's eye, her only friend dead on a concrete floor. She looked down at her hands before pushing away the thought and looking back up at her mother, who was now getting to her feet. She rushed across the floor, gathered Emily in her arms, and held her there for what seemed to Emily like forever. The image of the dead boy's face faded from Emily's mind as she sat there in that moment, enveloped in the love of her mother, the niggling guilt and anger pushed so far into the back of her mind so as to be almost beyond memory. Emily felt Peter slipping away, obscured behind these clouds of warmth and happiness. She fought hard to keep a grip on him, but it was almost too much in the face of this emotional onslaught. She conjured an image in her head of the boy, laughing and smiling, as he often was, but even that too quickly became faded and obscured as Emily buried her head in her mother's shoulder as they wept, squeezing each other tight. Somewhere in the back of her mind, green eyes stared out laughing above a jagged smile. Despite herself, Emily had but one thought in her head at that moment. All she could think of, all she could muster, was two words. Thank you.